I had the unique privilege years ago of planting a church in the Seattle area, just north of Seattle, in a very unchurched area. And we saw immediate growth. It was scary. We started with a few families, families that were committed to Jesus and the Word, and we started meeting in a school, and it blew up. We got to 50, then 100, then 150, and then we hit 200 within the first year, and it made me a little nervous. I was excited. You know, our home group ministry was huge. We did a lot of one-on-one Bible studies across the church, and I met with the pastor. And I was thankful. I mean, the Lord was working. We were seeing healthy growth. We were seeing people saved and baptized. And I had lunch with the pastor one day, and he goes, "Hey, I got this article for you." And I was like, "Sweet, I love articles." And I said, "What's it about?" And he goes, "How to break the 200 barrier." And I was like, you know, yes, listen, if you're a part of a church that doesn't care about seeing more people come in, then something's wrong, because every person represents a soul. Amen? We want to see people brought into the church because those are souls. We want to see people saved and baptized and plugged into Christ's body. But the focus, I believe, in the scriptures is on what kind of growth? What kind of growth does the Bible emphasize? Again, numerical growth, we'll call it growth in width, does matter. But I think there's more emphasis on the depth, right? Spiritual maturity. We want to see God's people grow in Christ's likeness. We want to see them grow in their love for Jesus and their hatred for sin. Amen? Now, again, we talk about growth all the time. If you run a business, if you're wanting to start a family, right, growth is important. So let me just ask some questions, and I'm not an expert in any of these areas. How do you grow a garden? Doesn't just happen, right? You don't just, hey, I'm in a garden this year and walk outside and expect to grow a garden. I mean, things have to happen. You got to till the soil, right? You got to get some fertilizer. I love mushroom compost. That stuff is amazing. You got to plant seeds. There's got to be water and sunlight. Things have to be in order for a garden to grow, for growth to happen. We understand that. What about a business? Hey, I want to grow a business. Well, certain things have to happen. Certain elements have to be there. You know, how do you grow a human? I mean, things have to happen. You want to grow a family. Other examples? You want to grow a team. A lot has to happen if you want to grow a team. Again, not just numerically, but you want that team to mature, to gel, to work together. Well, how do you grow a church? That may sound odd. How do you grow a church? God's people. And again, I'm talking about maturity-wise. I want to see more people brought in. I want to see souls saved. I want to see people baptized. We all want that. But how do you grow a church maturity-wise, depth-wise? Well, certain things must be present. What are they? Well, where should we look? Where are those things found? They're found in the Word. Well, Kobe mentioned that we've started a new series, a three-week series on why we gather. And I hope to do this every fall, Lord willing. Just a reminder of what is the purpose of the church. Why do we do this? Why do we get together every week? What should we be doing as a church body? Well, last week, my main point was we gather to worship, okay? And we looked at five essential elements of corporate worship, all revolving around the Word of God, the Bible. We gather to read the Word. We talked about that. We gather to preach the Word or hear the Word preached. We gather to pray the Word, sing the Word, and see the Word. But why else do we gather? Is that it? I mean, we've checked the boxes. Is that the only reason we gather? Well, the title for my sermon this morning is We Gather to Grow. We gather to grow. And here's the big idea. We gather to grow through three things, okay? God's Word, His people, and His Spirit. And those are my points, okay? So we gather to grow, that's the main point of the sermon, and then there's three supporting points. We gather to grow through the Word, the people, the church, and the Spirit. Okay, we gather, though, to be what? To be edified. The gathered church is God's means of growing His body, but edification happens primarily through the what? Through the preaching of God's word on Sunday mornings and the relationships. I mean, look around the relationships within the body of Christ. And the Bible teaches that the Spirit of God is active through both of these means, through the preaching and through the people. So within the local church, and you should be thankful for this, okay? Maybe you're here today not feeling very thankful. Well, you have reason to be thankful today, because within the local church, we have three resources from God for growing His people. The Word. Everybody say the Word. The people. And the what? Spirit. Spirit. And it's the gathered body, the church. It's where these three resources are active. So to neglect or reject the church is to spurn these resources, these gifts from God. I mean, who wakes up saying, I want to spurn God's good gifts? Hopefully none of us. So let's start with the first one. And I think I'll spend most of my time here. A, God grows His church through His what? Through His word. Through His word. And I want to give you a chance to turn to Colossians 1. We're going to look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1:28. God grows His church through His word. There's no growth in the church without the word of God. Amen? It's just not going to happen. I remember looking at some articles on growing the church, and there was all these man-made things, you know, do A, B, and C, and you're guaranteed a bigger church body. You know, there's a lot of things we could do as a church, and we would double in size in a year, I promise you. But would those things honor the Lord? Would they be pleasing to Him? Would they be supported by this? No, no. And we're not going to succumb to that, amen? We're going to be guided by the principles that are found in the Scriptures. And the main way God grows His people, the main way He matures His church is through the Word. So let's listen to what the Word says about the Word. Is that confusing? All right, it shouldn't be. Colossians 1:28. Him we proclaim, Jesus, right? Paul's writing one of my favorite passages in Colossians. Him we proclaim. Who does Paul proclaim? Jesus. Warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? That we may present everyone, here's the word, mature. That's the kind of growth we're talking about, right? Maturity. Spiritual maturity in Christ. So, from what is Paul proclaiming Christ? Warning and teaching the church. What's the source for his proclamation? Where does Paul go? What does he use? The word. We see this in the verses that precede. So just go to verses 24 and 25. Same chapter, Colossians 1, 24 and 25. God grows His church through His word. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you. Here it is. To make the word of God fully known. Paul's ministry, if you've spent any time reading about Paul, Paul's ministry was one of suffering. And he suffered so as to make the word of God fully known to God's people. Verse 28 of Colossians 1 helps us to see the focal point of Paul's preaching. Paul's preaching was Christ-centered. He preached Christ in the word. And that is the goal of the preacher, amen? That's the goal, namely to show how all Scripture points to who? Who? Christ. So this is helpful. Are you ready? In Colossians 1:28, this is my main text for this first point, okay? In Colossians 1:28, we see what the Word does. Everybody say does. Okay, we're going to see what the Word does, the Bible does, the Scriptures do, and what it seeks to accomplish. The purpose. First, here's what it does. It warns and it teaches with all wisdom. What does it do? It warns and it teaches, and then you have that prepositional phrase, with all wisdom. That's what the word does. It warns, And it teaches. As one scholar notes, what's the first thing it does? It warns. Who likes to be warned? I'm warning you. Well, listen, warnings can be a really good thing. And I'll give some examples here shortly. But the word to warn, nuthateo in the Greek, means to admonish. The word of God admonishes us. Now, that word means, it's a little more than just admonish. It means to advise someone concerning the dangerous consequences of a particular action. If you do this, if you go that path, some really bad things are going to happen. So beware. God's word. Isn't it amazing that God gives us his word to warn us? I mean, without it, it's like you're what? You're removing the guardrails, okay? Hey, good luck. No, God wants to keep us on the straight and narrow. He gives us the word for that reason, to warn us. God's word is meant to warn us of the dangers of living life without Christ, life opposed to him. As one scholar says, admonishing in Scripture has the connotation of confronting with the intent of changing. I mean, it's not just to confront or to warn, but it's to do so with the intent of changing one's attitudes and actions. That's the goal of the warning, right? Don't go this way, but rather go this way. You know, God's word is confrontational. Who's confrontational here? Most of you aren't. Most of us aren't, right? We're not. Most of us don't like confrontation, but God's word is confrontational. It confronts us with God's truth, his way. It confronts the word of God. The Bible confronts our thoughts and actions, and it seeks to bring our lives in line with the word of God. We need to have our lives regularly exposed to God's word so that we can be confronted by who? By God. By God. A God who loves us and wants us to walk with him. Again, I know most people don't enjoy confrontation, but we need to be regularly confronted by the word of God. Again, who doesn't appreciate a good warning? Don't eat this. It's poisonous. Now listen, I was on a mission trip. I went 3 years in a row. It's gone for 2 weeks in Albania. And they told us, listen, you Americans, don't drink our water. It will mess you up. And I said, well, I want to get messed up. I want to be able to function here and do ministry. And we had some teenagers who thought, you know what? I can drink this water. I mean, they're drinking it. Their teenagers are doing it. Why can't we? And I said, guys, I'm telling you, stick to the bottled stuff. And they ignored the warning. And they had diarrhea. Can I say that? They did. They had stomach issues. I'm sorry. They had stomach issues half the trip. I said, guys, what are you doing? You were warned. And they spurned it, and they suffered greatly. Oh, I could tell you more, but we'll leave it at that. Don't cross this bridge. It's structurally unsound. Well, I'm thankful for that warning, because if I didn't see the warning and I crossed the bridge, I could go crashing to my death. Danger, look out. Thank you. God warns us in his word of the way of life that will inevitably result in our demise. And we need this warning often. Listen to Proverbs 14:12. You don't have to turn. I'm going to read it quickly. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Okay, so not only does the word of God warn us, and God grows us by warning us, but it also does what? It teaches. And that's the Greek word didasko. It provides instruction. That's what it means. To teach means to provide instruction. Richard Mellick writes, teaching, this word didasko in Greek, the word used here in our passage in Colossians 1, is the orderly presentation of Christian truth for converts, for believers. Why? So that they may know how to grow. You want to grow? What do you need? You need teaching. Teaching from where? Teaching from the word. Listen to Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. There's that word again. That through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That's a great passage. Amen? You know, I've had the privilege of sitting under some wonderful teachers. I really have. Doug Stewart, Tom Petter. He's an Old Testament scholar from Switzerland. Brilliant mustache, like Magnum P.I. mustache. Loves the Lord. He was my Old Testament professor and a good friend. Richard Lentz, Stephen Whitmer. Thankful for these men who have taught me. But there is no greater teacher than the Word, because there's no greater teacher than God. God instructs us where? He teaches us where? In His Word. Psalm 119:24, your testimonies are my delight, they are my counselors. Do you believe that? You got to know to grow. Who's heard that? You got to know to grow. God tells us what we need to know to grow in His Word. So these two things go hand in hand, knowing and growing. The more we learn about God, think of it this way, the more we learn about God, His character, His mighty deeds, and where do we find those things? In the Word. So the more we learn about God, His character, His mighty deeds, the more we grow in our love for Him, right? This is true for most relationships. The more I learn about Haley, my beautiful bride, the more I grow to love her, right? I mean, if you want to grow in your knowledge of God, where do you got to go? Go to the Word. I don't want to grow. Yes, come on. Yes, you do. We want to grow. It takes the Word. So both of these verbs, what are the two things the Word does? It warns and it teaches. Do you know that both of these verbs are found in the present tense in the original Greek language? Which denotes what kind of action? It's ongoing, it's continuous. So we need the warnings of Scripture, and we need the teachings of Scripture. How often? All the time, right? All the time. Well, I read my Bible this year. What do you mean? Well, yeah, I read it this week, and I'm good for... No, we got to be in the Word how often? Every day, regularly. The aim of Word preaching is to continuously grow and build up God's people. And this happens through the ongoing work of God's Word in admonishing and teaching God's people. And then we have the phrase, with all what? Warning and teaching with all what? Wisdom. Wisdom. I'll take some of that. The Word warns and teaches us so that we can make right decisions. That is wisdom, by the way. If you want the biblical definition for wisdom, it's making right decisions. If you wish to grow in wisdom, then you must regularly gather with God's people to hear the what? To hear the Word. Second, now we talked about Colossians 1:28 spells out what the Word does, but also what it seeks to accomplish, its purpose. What is the overall goal of God's Word being preached when we gather? The maturity of God's people. That's what the text says. That we, Paul says, may present everyone mature in Christ. So what is Paul getting at here? Paul is speaking of the church's future presentation before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, all of us are going to stand before the King one day and give an account. Preaching the Word is how we prepare God's church for the return of the King. The goal in his preaching was to see God's people presented as mature in Christ on that final day. Let me talk about the word mature. It's the word teleos. A lot of Greek today. Felt like Greeking out a little bit today. Hope you're okay with that. Mature. What does the word mature mean? That's the purpose. That's the goal. Right? Teaching, warning with all wisdom so that we may be what? Mature. Who wants to be mature spiritually? Raise your hand. I just want to see who I'm talking to here. Most of you. Okay, good. If I didn't see you, I'm sorry. Teleos, mature. It's an important word in the Greek. It's used throughout the New Testament. It means to be entirely focused on and directed by Christ. It actually means to be perfect. That is the goal we are striving for as God's people. Gathered around the Word. Don't you want to be perfect spiritually? Now, we know that this side of glory we won't be, but we strive for it. Amen? We strive for it. Let me summarize what we've talked about so far. We proclaim Christ in the Word to mature God's people in preparation for our coming King with admonishment, right, warning and teaching in all wisdom. Now, we talked about this in great detail last Sunday. We gather to read the Word and we gather to hear the Word preached. This is part of our worship. That's why we gather. And this is how God grows His people. There is no growth without the Word of God. Now, let me skip a little bit. I want to talk about this quickly. I think this will just put things into perspective, and this will add just a weight to the significance of what we're doing right now, even. Whenever we open the Word on Sundays, okay, so we gather, we open our Bibles, and for the last almost year, we've been in John, and I've enjoyed walking through John with Kelties. It's been a sweet time. What are we doing when we do that? Whenever we open the Word on Sundays, think about this. It presents us with an opportunity, a divine appointment, to grow and mature as believers. So don't neglect this. And this is what's sad. You know, a serious athlete, and I mean, there's a few of you here that have been serious athletes. A serious athlete never misses an opportunity to grow in their sport, right? If they're serious, they're never going to miss an opportunity to grow in their sport. And this happens through practice, right? Gathering with the team to hear the coach's instructions. The same can be said of a serious musician. They gather regularly with the orchestra and the conductor to improve, to grow their skills. How much more should we? Look around. We, as the church, be motivated to gather as God's people under the Word of God so that we can mature as believers. There's nothing more important than this. You know, over the years, I have found myself greatly discouraged by one thing in the church. Not just one thing, there's been other things. But here's one thing that's always discouraged me. And it's when you compare, I guess contrast, those who come on Sunday mornings versus those who come on Sunday evenings. I mean, you know, it's staggering the difference. When you look at how many gather for a Sunday morning worship service versus the once a month when we gather on Sunday evenings to take the Lord's Supper and open the Word, I'm always just like, man, you're missing an opportunity. Why aren't you here? Like, this is a chance to sit under the Word again with the goal of maturing. We can be warned together. We can be taught together from God's truth, and you're not here. Why? And I get things happen. I get that. But consistently in most churches, not just Kelties, there is a major difference in attendance between that Sunday morning and Sunday evening. True? Okay? I'd say no. Acts 20:32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I want to look at two phrases here, okay? Again, I told you, point one's the majority of my sermon, okay? God grows his church through his what? His word. Two phrases here in Acts 20:32. Paul is speaking to a group of elders, the Ephesian elders, a group that he'll likely never see again this side of paradise. It's his final words. It's a really sweet text. It's his final words to a group of pastors. And in verse 28, he calls them to pay careful attention to the flock, the church, in which the Holy Spirit has made them what? Overseers. And then, in verse 32, he commends these men to God and his word. Okay, so they're tasked with caring for God's people, and they're commended to do it with what? With the word. God's shepherds care for God's sheep through God's word, namely through the word of his grace. God's word is a gift to his church. And what is the word able to do, according to Paul? Build up in our passage in Acts and give an inheritance. Build up. I'm not going to read the Greek word here because it is this long and you'll never remember it. But it means to increase the potential of someone, to strengthen, to make more able,
That is what the Word does. It makes us more able. Able to do what? Able to follow Christ. Able to obey. Amen? Let me say this. Let me just get really real with you, church. I meet with a lot of men, okay? A lot of men in this church I meet with. And I've been doing that for years. I love discipleship. Whenever I meet with a guy and he says, man, I'm not doing well. Yeah, I fell again. I looked at porn again. I've not loved my wife well this week. Man, I've been raising my voice at my kids. I got some idols in my life, man. I'm spending way too much time at work. I'm not living the way this calls me to live. And I ask, how's your time in the Word been? And what do they always say? What do they always say? What do you think? It's been great. Been reading 5-10 chapters a day. No, I've not been in the Word consistently, bro. I've just not. I've not been in the Word. You see the correlation? You see it? It's important. Let me move on because time is getting away. How else do we grow? How else does God grow His church? Through His Word. B, God grows His church through His people. Oh, man. This is good, okay? Like, I need you for my growth. You need me for your growth. We need each other to grow. And if you don't agree with that, you don't know your Bible. Listen to what God's Word says. God grows His church through His people. 1 Peter 4:7-11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers over a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Here it is, verse 10. As each, as what? Not some, not even the majority, but as what? As each. Thank you. Is that Miss Ann? Thank you, Miss Ann. As each has received a gift, use it to do what? To make yourself look good? To serve yourself? No. Use it to serve who? One another. Oh, and listen, this phrase right here, you might not like to underline your Bibles, but it's worth it right here. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Again, who wakes up saying, you know what? I really don't want to steward God's grace today. No, we want to steward God's grace. And how do we do that? By using the gifts He's given us to do what? To serve one another. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies in order. Oh, here's the purpose. Are you ready for this? This is glorious. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful picture of the church. Here we see what God's church is to be. A set apart and sanctified community of believers marked by love, forgiveness, hospitality, and gifted by God to help grow the body. Let me talk about these gifts. So again, the point here is God grows His church through His what? His people. Verse 10, 1 Peter 4. Again, open there. Have that open. We're going to be there for a little bit. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You have been gifted to help grow. Peter's clear here. Each believer has received a gift from God. Don't forget that, but for what purpose? To do what? To serve one another. God gives us gifts to use for the building up of His church. So if you, now think of it, here are the implications. If you neglect this gathering, if you neglect God's church, you are not simply limiting the church growth potentiality of your gift, you're cutting it off. Man, you're cutting it off. God saves us to serve and build up others in His church. So if you neglect the church, namely if you refuse to use your gift to serve this body, then you're being a poor steward of God's grace. It'd be like the first chair musicians in the New York City Philharmonic refusing to show up to rehearsal and even the next concert. These are the first chair musicians. I mean, these are the best of the best, and they don't come to practice, and they don't show up when it's time. Man, who are they affecting when they do that? Everyone, the rest of the orchestra. What if Dak Prescott, and that dude's getting paid right now, what if Dak Prescott refused to suit up for the next game? He's the quarterback for who? The Cowboys. I got some blank. Man, if 10 years ago I would have said Russell Wilson in Seattle, they'd have been like, yeah, Russell. But I'm glad. We're not excited about quarterbacks today. We're excited about Jesus. But it's an illustration. I want to make sure that you can follow me, assuming we all know who Dak Prescott is. The point is this. If Dak doesn't show up for practice, he's being a poor steward of his gift, a gift that is meant to serve the entire team. When the follower of Jesus refuses to regularly gather with God's people on Sunday mornings, they are ultimately affecting the entire body. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the day draws near. Simply put, you cannot do, everybody say you can't do, and you can't have done. That was okay. I'll say it. You don't say it. You can't do, and you can't have done to you the one another's if what? If you neglect the church. Ephesians 4, 15 to 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to what? Grow up. So go there. Go to Ephesians 4 quickly. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body what? Grow. So that it what? Builds itself up in love. Did you hear the language? Grow, grow, build up. What is Paul talking about? Who is he talking about? The church. Okay? Let's look at the second half of verse 16. When each part, and who are the parts? Who are the members? They're the people, right? They're the people in the church. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So what does it mean? What does it mean for each part of God's body, each member of the church, to be working properly? I mean, I want to be working properly. Don't you? I want to do this. So what does it mean? As Christians, we have been rescued into a body of believers with the common goal to speak the truth in love to one another. So each part, listen to this, of God's body is working properly when they are committed to speaking the truth in love to one another. It's not just my job to speak the truth in love. It's whose job? It's our job, everyone's. Word ministry, speaking the word to each other, should be happening across the board in God's church as God's people are committed to correcting one another when correction's needed, encouraging one another when encouragement is needed, all with the Word of God and motivated by our love for one another. And when this happens, what's going to happen? When we're doing this, what's going to happen? When we're correcting each other with the Word of God and encouraging each other with the Word of God, what's going to happen? The body's going to grow up in love. Who wants to see the body grow up in love? I do, but it takes each member doing their part, speaking the truth in love to each other. Let me read one of these verses, because time. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then James 5, 19 and 20, I'm not going to read it, but remember it. We fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love, by regularly gathering together in community as a church for the purpose of doing what? Spurring one another on in Christ's likeness, helping wayward brothers and sisters in Christ restoring them and going after them. That's James 5, 19 and 20, so as to see God's body healthy and strong. Let me summarize. We need the gifts, fellowship, and accountability of God's people in order to grow as God's church. Let me say that again. Write this down. We need the gifts, the fellowship, and the accountability of God's people in order to grow as God's church. I have a lot of application here, and I need to go through it. It's important. Let me give you some application steps, okay? I've often said that in order for the church to do the one another's, right, there's about 71 another commands in the New Testament, things that we're called to do to one another. In order to do the one another's, you need others, right? Does that make sense? You can't do the others without, I'm sorry, you can't do the one another's without others. So it takes others. It takes the church, the body, the people. For example, I've already read Hebrews 10. Let me read Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ, this is verse 16, dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing who? One another. Again, we cannot do these things without others. So what does this mean? We must gather together. We got to get together, church. We got to do life together. We got to do life as believers. Now, of course, this includes gathering with the church on Sundays, but it's more than that. I've always been struck by Hebrews 3:13. I wonder if you're familiar with it. Listen to Hebrews 3:13. The writer says, but exhort one another every week. No, that's not what he says. But exhort one another every day. Wow, that's surprising. How often? Every day. As long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This implies that the early church gathered regularly, not just on Sundays, to do what? To spur each other on in the gospel. So let me give you some examples of things that we can do to get together as a church. Because again, to grow, we need who? If we're going to grow as a church, who do we need? We need each other, okay? The first thing is this one-on-one discipleship. Who's ever heard the name Dawson Trotman? Nobody? Dawson Trotman? Well, he's the founder of the Navigators. He was a discipling machine. He discipled Billy Graham and really challenged Billy Graham to do follow-up. You know, they have these big gatherings and people make decisions, but what's going to happen next? I mean, you got to follow up with these people. You got to make sure they're going to be discipled. Not just pray a prayer, but they need somebody to walk alongside them. Do you know who else Dawson Trotman discipled? Ken Smith. You're like, who's Ken Smith? Ken Smith later discipled Rosaria Butterfield. Whenever this guy, Dawson Trotman, met a guy and he knew he was a believer, this is what he would ask. I love this. Where's your man? Where's your man? In other words, who is the man you're discipling? Oh, hey, you're a Christian. You're a brother in Christ. Who's your man? Who are you discipling right now? Who are you coming alongside to help follow Jesus? And when we do this, when we do one-on-one discipleship, what should this include, by the way? The word? Here's what mine looks like. I get with a guy. We open up the Bible. We read a passage. We talk about it. We pray. And then we ask questions. How's your walk with the Lord? How's purity? How's your marriage? Simple. An hour. One day a week. Fellas, guys, look at me really fast. Where's your man? Where's your man? Ladies, where's your woman? Where's your lady? Y'all do this really well, by the way, ladies. But seriously, if you don't have a lady that you're pouring into, where's your lady? You know, this is one of the greatest ways that we can imitate Jesus in our own lives. I love Mark 3:14. Turn to Mark 3:14 with me. Mark 3:14. We often overlook this. About to wrap it up, but I need to finish this point, and then the final point, I'm just going to go quick. And I'm not going to apologize. This is, thank you, brother. Yeah. Mark 3:14. Someone's like, shut up, Lewis. No, thank you, Lewis. Thank you, brother. Yeah. All right, Mark 3:14. Listen to this. Again, the point I'm making is this. Whenever we do one-on-one discipleship, we are imitating Christ. I mean, we talk about Dawson Trotman, who is the discipling machine par excellence. Jesus. And listen to how Jesus is described in Mark 3:14. And he, Jesus, appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him. Jesus was invested relationally in the disciples. He spent time with them to see them grow spiritually. So again, guys, where's your man? Ladies, where's your lady? We also have regular gatherings for men and women here at Kelties, right? This includes a monthly Bible study for our ladies. It's a fellowship time. It's a Bible study time. It's a eating time. Maybe I got you there, but it's a sweet time. My wife loves going to that. We have a quarterly men's event called Man Camp. These are opportunities to get together with God's people so that we can what? Grow. Join a life group, a home group. These take place on Sundays in homes throughout the community. The purpose of these weekly gatherings is to do life with fellow believers, to eat together, pray together, and open God's word together. Let me just recommend a book of mine. I didn't write this book. It's a guy named Dustin Willis. I read this book years ago. It's a great book on this subject, doing life together with God's people. It's titled, Life in Community, Joining Together to Display the Gospel. Life in Community, that's the main title. The subtitle, you'll figure it out. But Life in Community by Dustin Willis. All right, last point. What else, or better stated, who else does God give us to grow the church? We've looked at two of the three resources that God gives us to grow, to mature in Christ's likeness. He gives us the Word. He gives us each other. And then finally, God grows His church through His Spirit. God gives us Himself to grow us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And where is the Spirit found? Where? In God's people, the church. So, if we reject the body, then we're pushing the Spirit away. Do you see how devastating that is? I've met people, I don't have time for the church. You're rejecting the Spirit because the Spirit works within the church. Again, we all have gifts. Who gives the gifts? The Spirit. You know, we tend to read the New Testament letters individually rather than corporately. And this is to miss the intention of the original authors. For example, Galatians 1, verse 2, to the churches of Galatia. Ephesians 1, 1, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. We need to think about our Christianity corporately. Yes, individual faith matters. Yes, personal devotions matter. But we cannot let our individualistic culture drive the way that we read the Bible. What we see in so many of Paul's letters is the emphasis on how the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, inhabits and works through God's gathered corporate body, the church. Let me read one passage. I know, sweetie, we're almost done. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the what? The cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Paul's point is this. Faith in Christ. Everybody say faith in Christ. Okay, faith in Christ brings us together into a body here, a temple, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So God indwells His church by the Holy Spirit, and it's the Spirit that produces the growth spoken of in verse 21, specifically growth in holiness. And of course, we know that the Spirit works through the Word and the people of God to produce this holiness. We could say that the church is the context for Christian growth, and the Spirit is the means for bringing about that growth. If you wish to be holy and grow in holiness, you need both. The Spirit working through the church. The Spirit working through the church. Let me end with this. I'm going to have to skip some stuff. I hate to do that. Lewis, I appreciate that sentiment, brother. I go all day. We can't do that. Let me talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and then I'll pray. What is the fruit of the Spirit? What are they? What are the fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay, so who lived that way perfectly? Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is the character of whom? Character of Jesus, the character of Christ. Now, hold on to that, okay? Who produces the fruit? The Spirit, and the Spirit produces the what? The character of Christ in whom? The church, the people, okay? So, who produces the fruit in us? The Spirit. Why? So that we can do the fruit to one another, so that we can demonstrate the character of Christ to one another. Now, think of it this way. This is helpful. The Spirit dwells within the people of God. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, works to display the character of Christ in the people of God. Let me say that again. The Spirit works to display the character of Christ in the people of God. So, here's the consequence. The more time we spend with the church, the more we will be exposed to the character of who? Jesus. The more we'll be exposed to the Spirit working through His people, not just for their benefit, but for ours. Why would you neglect this? I mean, doesn't it sound great to be exposed more and more to the character of Christ? Where is that character produced? In the church by the Spirit. Or think back to what we saw in 1 Peter 4, 7-11. The Spirit of God gives the people of God certain gifts so that we can serve one another and grow up more and more into the image of the Son of God. Well, I'm not going to lie. There's one more passage I want to read, but I think we got it. I hope you got it. Why do we gather? To grow. What resources does God give us to grow? The Word, the people, and the Spirit. And do you see, if you reject this gathering, you're cutting yourself off from these beautiful and glorious resources. The Word being preached, the gifted people of God, and the Spirit that indwells the people of God, producing the character of Christ, empowering us to serve one another. Why would you pull yourself out of that context? Do you want to grow? Yes. Who do you need? You need the church. You need the church. Amen? We need the church. Let me pray. Again, I'm not going to apologize for going a little late. But next week, we're going to talk about we gather for mission. What is our mission as a church? We gather to worship. We gather to grow. Next week, we gather for mission. And we're going to spend time unpacking the church's mission. Okay? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the glorious resources you have given us to grow us more and more into conformity to Christ. I thank, Father, that we take for granted the gift of your word. It is a precious gift, your inspired word, your word that is authoritative, without error. It is true. I pray that we would love your word, that it would in fact be our counselors, that as I prayed with our Sunday school teachers this morning, that we would see it as more valuable than thousands of gold and silver pieces, that we would see your word as sweeter than honey to our taste, that we would hide it in our hearts so that we would not sin against you. But I pray, Father, that we would be committed to gathering with your church every time there's an opportunity, when your word is being preached, so that we can be warned and taught with all wisdom. And Father, we thank you for the gift of your church. We thank you that you give us all gifts to serve one another so that we can be built up and made more like Christ. I pray that we would use the gifts that you have given us for your glory and the good of others. And Father, we thank you for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit given to us to make us holy. We thank you for the Spirit that opens our eyes to behold wonderful things in your word. We thank you for the Spirit that empowers us to obey your word. for the Spirit that is work in us through the Word, sanctifying us and making us more like Jesus. We thank you that, Holy Spirit, you fill your church, that you produce in your people the character of Christ, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I pray that we would gather regularly to hear your word, to encourage each other with the gifts you've given us, and to behold the character of Christ, the Holy Spirit you're forming in your people. Father, we desire to be a holy, healthy church. Help us to be a holy and healthy church more and more. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.